All right. Welcome to the UConn Honors Podcast. My name is Mukund Desibatla. I'm a junior and physiology and neurobiology and Spanish double major. I'm here with Vinayak.
Hey, guys. I'm Vinayak Mishra, studying molecular and cell biology in the honors program here at UConn. And today, as a guest, we have Amisha, who is the executive director of Glowstock on campus. Amisha, would you like to give a description of the club on campus?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Amisha. I'm a sophomore here at UConn in the honors program, and I'm pursuing a dual degree in physiology and neurobiology, as well as economics, and with a global health minor. So GLOSOC, which stands for Global Health Spaces on Campus, was created in 2018 by a group of passionate undergraduate students from many different departments and schools at UConn, and they were all really combined by this common goal of creating an open forum for global health discussions and discussing issues related to the health of individuals around the world. So over the past 2 to 3 years, we've held many large-scale events, such as global health symposiums, that kind of have been promoting this space for global health here on campus.
That's amazing, Amisha. I don't think UConn has seen such large-scale events with so much student-led involvement pertaining to global health. And I just wanted to ask you a little bit about your origin story. So what motivated you to, first of all, become involved in global health spaces on campus, but also lead?
Yeah, sure. So I guess a bit of backstory on GLOSOC as an organization. Again, it was started by a group of students, and since then it has been very student-led. I came and joined GLOSOC back in my freshman year, second semester. I just happened to meet the people who were leading GLOSOC, and as soon as I stepped into my first meeting, I just felt at home because you had so many diverse students with so many different perspectives, but all really combined by this common goal of creating change in global health. And as a result, you got so many different perspectives. You could have a great conversation with literally anyone that you turned to. And as someone who had an interest in global health, I was able to fully pursue that in this club. And as I kind of went through the process of helping organize the second global health symposium here at UConn, I got more and more involved with the club, and then eventually decided to run for an officer position.
That's great. So like you said, that GLOSOC is about global health symposiums and stuff. I was just wondering why one of the next symposiums is going to be based on a hackathon, and how hackathons are usually targeted towards like more technical specialties. Why is there a hackathon for GLOSOC and not another symposium?
Well, Vinayak, I think to clarify, it's not a symposium, mm-hmm. right? It's an independent project by GLOSOC. It's a hackathon that's being introduced. You're still continuing with the symposium in the spring, I believe. Is that
yes,
correct?
Of course. So the symposium is our flagship program. So this will be our third year hosting the symposium. The hackathon is kind of something that stemmed out of us looking at the attendees at the past few symposiums. And while we've had great turnouts, we've gained international recognition for our symposium. But now we are looking to expand beyond just pre-health professions, people who are interested in pre-med, into groups that are a little bit more diverse, right? So looking at global health as a field, it's not just for pre-health professions. It's a very complex field that you need interdisciplinary solutions to. So as a result, we're welcoming business students, engineering students, students from any school on campus to come and not only learn about global health, but then become a part of the conversation within global health in creating solutions. So we hope that this hackathon will allow them to kind of engage their creative aspects and contribute to the development of the global health field around the world.
That is really amazing. And I think as a leader, you definitely are presented with a challenge. And that challenge is to make content pertaining to global health relatable to students who may have joined this organization for their first semester. And that presents many hindrances on the way. And I was just wondering, could you expand on any of the obstacles that you have faced both being a participant in, let's say, the second symposium, right?
Right, yes.
You were a member of the second symposium in the spring, and also right now you're putting together content for this hackathon. How will you make it relatable, and are there any other obstacles that you've faced on the way?
Yeah, sure. So developing GLOSOC has definitely been a huge journey. I mean, when we first started out, we really started out on UConn Buy or Sell, right? So we literally started off of a Facebook post with our founder Akshay Achiri Babu, who is now a UConn alum, and she posted this post saying like, "Hey, come by if you're interested in global health," and students did, and they created that first symposium with the theme "Think Global, Act Local," which has been our motto since then. And as we kind of went forward, we just saw that there were these global health resources around campus. There's interest all across the nation. Global health is the fastest growing major, but we just don't have a major for it here officially at UConn. It's an individualized major. So we saw that there's interest in global health. We've seen that there's institutes on campus, like there's the Institute for Collaboration on Healthcare Intervention and Policy, which is INCHIP. There's also a lot of different entrepreneurship related orgs on campus. There's other groups that are involved in global health, like Huskies for Haiti. There's Global Brigades. There's so many other different clubs. But we wanted to see a way to kind of combine all of those together into one platform. So someone coming into UConn is able to go to this one global health institute and see what's the UConn global health space like.
Wow. It's a challenge, but I think it also... the organization has become a learning curve for you as a leader. And I just had a question, just a clarification. This semester, your organization announced a rebranding in the name. It used to be Global Health Symposium Organizing Committee, and it has now been changed to Global Health Spaces on Campus. What was the incentive for this name change, and how does this aid the expansion of GlowHack and other events this year?
Yeah, sure. So as we first started off as a symposium organizing committee, that's why our name was Global Health Symposium Organizing Committee. But as we kind of proceeded through our symposiums, and this year, as we were looking to apply to a more diverse audience and host more events that were a bit different than the symposium, we thought that it would be a better idea to make sure that we have a name that encompasses all of those different events. And also, as we go out into the community and start collaborating with UConn Health, Connecticut Children's Medical Center, a lot of other health facilities and just programs around the state, we thought that a more inclusive name would be better for our branding, and just it's more true to the mission of GlowSoc, because we are looking to create an inclusive space essentially for global health across Connecticut.
That's amazing how you guys are focusing towards such large endeavors. I'm sure that also takes a large group of students in your organization. So I kind of just wanted to ask, what do you think the role of students is in the success of the organization, and how are students involved really playing into that, like trying to organize like this hackathon or the upcoming symposium and other events coming on later on?
So I guess I can speak to the role of students in GlowSoc. I mean, I think that's what you're...
Yeah, asking. Just the role of students in GlowSoc.
Yeah, of course. So we really pride ourselves on just having GlowSoc be a very student-led, student-organized group. And we take huge value in bouncing ideas off of each other, regardless of what major you are, where you come from, what your experience has been with global health, if you even have experience at all. We have students who come in with not even knowing what global health really is. Right. But it's nice for us to be able to kind of guide that understanding and be able to develop a love for global health, really. So all of our symposiums thus far, the first one, I think Global Act Local, and as well as our second one, Winning the Birth Lottery, those have both been completely student-run. And we look to continue that with our hackathon and future symposiums as well.
Right. Yeah, I think that's definitely an important factor in engaging new members, especially. You have to make sure that there is a lot of student-led discussions. But I also wanted to touch on a lot of the faculty presentations that your organization has been able to package and represent in both symposiums. So I just wanted you to expand a little bit. You had two keynote speakers, I believe, at the last symposium. Could you share a little bit about them? And how did they engage the content to the students in the audience.
Yeah, of course. So our second Global Health Symposium was themed Winning the Birth Lottery, which is basically this idea that the location of one's birth affects their access to healthcare for the rest of their life. And so as a result, we had two keynote speakers. On Friday, when we had our reception, we had Dr. Ki Park from Harvard Medical School, and he came and spoke to us about his experience with global surgery in North Korea, which is obviously a very interesting discussion. We talk about healthcare in a place like North Korea, and especially with us being in the United States, just think about how that really works. And hearing from him firsthand about his experiences and what really global health has looked like for him as a professional in the medical field was really interesting. And then on Saturday, when we moved forward into our full day symposium, we had our day open with keynote speaker Professor Sarah Willen in the anthropology department. And she's doing some really interesting work here in the United States with looking at how race and socioeconomic status in different areas affects that group's access to healthcare. And just looking at how in certain areas when you have a racial group that is primarily not white, you have those areas are more likely to have increased health problems. So talking to her, you see, again, a more anthropological side of it, a more socioeconomic side of it. Global health isn't, you see through that global health isn't really just a medical pre-health issue. It's something that really affects the lives of all of us, because you think about students who are in areas with higher lead poisoning or other environmental issues, they don't really have access to the same even developmental rights that we do. So going forward in last year's symposium, in addition to those two keynote speakers, we also had a refugee panel, which featured some students from the University of Connecticut, but also other organizations around Connecticut, like IRIS, the Integrated Refugee and Immigrant Services, and just other groups across Connecticut that kind of came to speak about their experiences with healthcare. And then we also moving into the second half of the day when we had our breakout sessions, and playing off of that theme of the birth lottery, we essentially literally simulated a birth lottery at our symposium. So
you handed out tickets, right?
Yeah, exactly.
As if it was a real lottery.
Yeah, so when students first came into the event that day, we gave them a program with the day's events, obviously, but on the back of it there was a scratch-off sticker that revealed a number, and now that number corresponded to a country that you were being born into, I guess, quote unquote. But so when the students got that number, they would go into a room, and in that room we would be giving them a basic rundown of an issue that would happen in that country that would relate to global health. So say we had four breakout sessions or four breakout rooms, I guess. So one room was Fiji and the Fijian water crisis. So you look at, if you were born in Fiji and you don't have access to clean water, while we here in the United States are getting bottled Fiji water for like $4 a bottle, which is ridiculous. And then you look at things like fast fashion and that whole industry, and there's a factory collapse that happened recently in Bangladesh, and like how that really affected the community there. Of course, like if you're only sole source of livelihood, as well as if a loved one who was working in that factory like died in that collapse or was injured, that's definitely a global health issue. You look at the DRC, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where you have mining for minerals that go into our tablets. And you go into, say, the Venezuela, the refugee crisis that's going on over there. You look at how U.S. foreign policy has kind of created that whole crisis. So looking at how our everyday actions affect the health of communities across the world that we don't even think about that sort of connection.
That's amazing. From what I like heard so far, it seems like you guys are actually bringing a lot of exposure to the students here on campus, which is amazing, because I don't think there has been a student-led club on campus that has done that before. I really find that amazing, and I'm just wondering, going forward, What are some things that you hope to get out of, say, planning or more symposiums, and how that's going to either benefit you as a participant in your club or as a leader in your club?
Yeah, sure. So going forward, we do have two major events that are planned for this year. We are also looking at collaborations with other orgs on campus. So our main event for this fall semester is our Global Health Hackathon, which we're hosting for the first time from November 15th to 16th. And that one is themed around the environment and health and looking at the relationship between that. And then in the spring semester from in the first weekend of March, I believe March 6th to 7th, we're hosting our flagship third Global Health Symposium. So we haven't really selected a theme for that yet because that is a very student, we talk among our student org and kind of look at where the interest is and take input from all these different students that are coming in. And I guess as a participant at a symposium or in a hackathon, you are able to contribute to this global health conversation either by understanding what's going on or even asking questions and even creating a final project with this hackathon. And then as a leader within GLOSOC, you are able to find this network of global health changemakers or future global health changemakers that you can really connect with, and really they become your best friends, and we're all like a GLOSOC family. So
Just to go off of that a little bit, for the people that are tuning in, how can they get involved with your club, and like, are there weekly meetings or some way they can reach out to you in order to get involved?
Yeah, of course. So we are on social media at UConn GLOSOC. That's our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook handle. So you can reach out to us there. Probably the best way to reach out would probably be via email if you want to email our email address, which is glosoc @gmail.com. That's GLOHSOC @gmail.com. And we will add you to your mailing list. And then we have like weekly meetings where we plan out all of our events. So everyone's welcome to show up to those.
Thanks, Amisha. Your ambitions as a leader are truly phenomenal. And we're so fortunate that you were able to share your story with us. Thank you again for coming in. For those of you listening, we have her details. If you want to contact her and become more involved in GLOSOC, we'll have it below. Thank you again for tuning in. I'm Mukund Desibatla.
I'm Vinayak Mishra. Thanks for tuning in, guys.